In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Advent is our opportunity, obviously, to consider the first coming of Christ in the Incarnation, and the second coming of Christ at the Eschaton. And we have an advantage, obviously, because we know what happened. But by the same token, the same graces are flowing for those who hear the word that is spoken here from the pulpit with regards to the sacred readings from sacred scripture. The same graces that were given to those who actually heard the words of St. John the Baptist over 2,000 years ago. But what made it so difficult and hard for the chief priests, the scribes, the Levites, the Pharisees, to actually understand what was going on? Why were they so confused? Note how most everyone recognized there was something about John, the precursor, John the Baptist, that was different. And therefore they listened to him and submitted to the baptism of repentance. Not the baptism of Christ, but the baptism of repentance. But the chief priests, the elders, the Levites, the Pharisees, they just couldn't believe it. And they did the same thing with the Christ. And they reject the Christ, so much so that they manipulate things to make certain that he is brutally crucified. So much is their hatred for him. And there lies the key to understanding our third point of the four last things, which is, of course, heaven. Heaven is, by its very nature, pure, unadulterated joy beyond our comprehension. The problem is that too many Christians, too many Catholics, live for the wrong idea of heaven. They don't understand what it is. Because we live in a hyper-sentimental culture. Everything is about feelings. What makes me feel good? What makes me feel happy? What makes me feel right? And as a result, there is a loss of reasonability. One doesn't consider what heaven really is in a reasonable sense. One only considers it in an unreasonable sense. Grandpa is dead and now he's playing golf forever in heaven. Uncle Billy is dead and now he's watching UK basketball forever in heaven. Aunt Millie is dead and now she's sewing afghans forever in heaven. Only people who have clearly no understanding, people that are motivated solely by their will, their passions, would say that. How could a soul in the beatific vision, the vision of God itself, want to play golf? Especially since right now those in heaven, they don't have bodies. Only Our Lady Mary Most Holy and the Christ Himself have bodies in heaven. We can't for certain know where Enoch and Elijah are. Heaven is a state more than a place. It is made a place because of the humanity of Christ ascending and the Blessed Virgin Mary ascending. So now it has to occupy human bodies in glorified form. But heaven is, by its very nature, God communicating Himself fully to the individual soul. And this is not an act of passion. It's an act of the intellect, the faculties of the soul, memory, will, and intellect. So therefore, heaven is an intellectual thing, which is appropriate because intellect is superior to will. As I tell you many times, will follows understanding. That's why so many Catholics who have no clue about God, about the Christ, because they never read sacred scripture. They don't really know what Jesus has really said and done. That's why so many think he is a pot-smoking hippie. They have no idea how God works and what God's justice really is. And so they make God, they make Jesus in their own image and likeness because they're motivated by passion, by will. When the will is detached from the intellect, the will end up pursuing what it was designed for. Good. But the problem is, divorced from intellect, the will can fall into false goods, illusory goods, which is precisely how the devil works, to tempt us to something that we think is going to be good. No sane man is tempted to do something that is actually evil. But at the time, he believes the evil would be good for him and a good thing to experience. When you're governed by your passions, you will seek false goods. You will seek illusory goods. You will believe the goods of this world are far more important than the goods of heaven, and you will live for them. And because, like the Pharisees, the chief priests, and the scribes, and the Levites, so motivated by their will, and therefore later their hatred for Christ, that intellectually, even though they are brilliant men by virtue of book knowledge, they are unintelligent because they're, in the matters of God Himself, their intellects are darkened, as they are for all of us, as a consequence of original sin. And with a darkened intellect, they cannot see the truth. And the more you don't understand something, when you do not use your reason, the more you become afraid of it. And then you either go into a fight or flight mode. And they ran and ran and ran from Christ. But eventually the chief priests, because they were so invested in the world, and because Christ was not the Messiah they wanted in their wills, he was everything he was supposed to be with regards to the intellect, touched by grace, enlightened by faith. But they rejected that in their pride. And as a result, they rejected Christ. And they wanted to murder him for the sake of their nation. And they turned him over to the very enemies that they would have nothing to do with, the Romans. This is what happens when you let your will take over your intellect. You respond only with emotion. And therefore you see heaven as an eternal golf course, or heaven as an eternal UK basketball game, or heaven as a bunch of women sewing afghans. You're so divorced from God when you have that mentality, and this is the great difficulty when you live for the world. And you're overly anxious about the world. All you care about is worldly concerns, and you give very little attention to God. And then you begin, in your lack of intellect, to reform heaven in the image and likeness of the world. If you were intellectually honest, you would become a Mohammedan. Because Mohammedans have formed a false god in their image and likeness who is nothing but pure will. And that's why they designed their heaven to be a place of licentiousness. If you kill Christians and Jews, you get 72 virgins for eternity. Heaven is a decadent, physical, sinful place for the Mohammedans. And unfortunately, too many Catholics have the same mentality. Perhaps not about the sin, but certainly about the materialism. And as a result, they're darkened to the things of God. And God, in His goodness and love, will give them what they want for eternity. You live life divorced from God in this life, He is going to let you be permanently divorced for Him in eternity. Not because He's so mean, because you're so mean. So if you understand heaven for what it is, then your will is going to follow an ordered understanding. You're not going to see anything in the world as all that important at the end, because you know it doesn't matter. Whether you die by virtue of a God taking you before the end of the world, or if you come to see the end of the world, you will understand that nothing in this world amounted to anything, especially when God destroys the earth by fire, so that it may be purified and reformed. Why do you think St. John in the book of the Apocalypse gives such a complete description of this heavenly city, the New Jerusalem, which is heaven, giving so many details? Because your senses interpret things based on your intellect. He was demonstrating how God will communicate Himself to the intellect, even to a soul that has no body, as all the souls in heaven are right now, save our Lord and our Lady. And so if you know that's the case, then guess what you're going to do? Will follows understanding. If you understand that heaven is God communicating Himself most fully to you, in the beatific vision, it's going to be based on the amount of sanctifying grace God gave you, so some souls will be closer than others. But the bottom line is, all will be so fulfilled because God created us to seek goodness, truth, and beauty. And He is the fullness of goodness, truth, and beauty. There's nothing in this world that satisfies you, even those who are stuck in habitual sin, because if it satisfied you, you wouldn't go back to the sin, would you? And the devil always gives that false promise that this will satisfy whatever urgent longing you have, whatever is missing in your life, but it never does. And God indeed has allowed that to be so, not with sin, but with blessings in general and the consolations He gives us. They're never lasting because He doesn't want us to become so attached to this world that it's all we care about, because then we will choose hell as our eternity. Not heaven, hell. And again, not because God's so mean, but because we are so mean that we would renounce the gift of salvation that Christ won for us on the cross, that we would make a mockery of our own presence here, where Jesus and His one sacrifice, true sacrifice, is being represented on the altar, where we can participate most profoundly, most personally, and not simply remember something that happened over 2,000 years ago, but be present to it. How good God is to allow us this opportunity. But remember, it's an intellectual thing, isn't it? Your mind and soul have to be engaged to know what's going on here at the altar. But too many Catholics are willful. They want to be entertained. They want things to happen that will move them, motivate them, make them all excited and happy. Or they just go to sleep during Mass. Probably because they're so anxious about the things of the world that they don't even care to come here at Mass and be refreshed and ready to listen to the Word and witness the miracle of the altar, because they're so worldly. God takes second place. God suffers no rivals, Scripture says. So people that treat Him like that, He will treat them the same way for eternity. Hell. Not because He's so mean, but because they're so mean. You concentrate on the reality of what heaven is, pure joy beyond our comprehension, pure satisfaction beyond our ability to understand, tall beyond tall, long beyond long, wide beyond wide, totally perfect. If you understand what it truly is to enjoy the beatific vision, you wouldn't care about golf or UK basketball or an Afghan when you're in heaven. But if you follow the will and go with your passions and never engage your mind and soul, because remember, you don't have to be a rocket scientist or an astrophysicist to be a good Roman Catholic. In fact, some of the worst people are the most intelligent people when it comes to sin. It's not about book smarts. It's about what we could call divine revelation smarts. Being aware of what's in Scripture, being aware of what the Church teaches, being aware of the magisterial interpretations. In other words, knowing the things of God and choosing to please God. That's why the simplest of men went to John the Baptist, and the most intelligent of men rejected him. If you live by your will, you are like the man who stands in front of a placid, large lake. And he sees the reflection of the moon and the stars in the water. Because he doesn't use his intellect, but only his will, he jumps into the water to obtain the moon and the stars. And he keeps swimming out because the moon never seems reachable. And he finally gets out to the middle of the lake, and he's tired and he drowns, to his own peril. Heaven, like the moon and the stars, is not where we want it to be. It's certainly not in the water. You follow your will, it will be to your own peril. You will not end up in the kingdom of heaven, no matter how many times you think you should. You know why? Because you've made a false heaven, because you've never read Scripture, you've never understood what the Church taught about it, and you were too lazy to look it up. You were too worldly to even consider it. And then you expect God to make the end meet for you because you were lazy. Balderdash. That's why the Church in immoral theology has the teachings with regards to vincible and invincible ignorance. If you're ignorant of the faith, it is usually your fault. And God suffers no rivals, because that means you made something more important than God. And you didn't love Him enough to learn more about Him. As commonsensically, you know, when you love someone, you want to know more about them. recondition yourself, renovate yourself if necessary, redirect yourself to the things of God. It's not all that complicated. The church provides it for you at every Mass. Should you be interested in learning, should you be interested in disposing yourself to grace, the graces will transform you. You and I can't do this of our own strength, but God affords us everything we need to do it. But it only works if you understand what heaven is, not what it isn't. If you think heaven is a materialistic place, then you're a good Mohammedan. And Mohammedans do not worship the one true God. And those who do not believe in the Son, as Jesus says, are condemned to eternal death. Do not be so foolish as to swim out into the middle of that cold lake looking for the moon and the stars. See where they actually are and make your vision go up to God and try to apprehend the things of God, understand the things of God in accord with the ability He's given you to understand them. Live for God. Direct yourself to God. Know the things of God. And then you will come to know, love, and serve Jesus the Christ in this life and be happy with Him eternally in the fullness of life which comes in the next. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.